Good morning and welcome to worship with Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome. And if you are a guest with us, we are so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. We know that there are a million places where you can worship virtually. And we're just grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. We hope that this hour is an opportunity for you to refill your soul and your spirit with a good word that comes from God. Today, we are continuing our Lenten journey as we consider the themes of truth and reconciliation. We know that there's a lot of talk about unity. We also know that for unity to happen, we've got to be honest with each other. And we've got to listen to one another. And so we are exploring stories from the Bible that draw us a little bit deeper into what is required for unity and wholeness and true reconciliation to occur. Today, we find ourselves at the very beginning in the book of Genesis and reading stories about Abraham and Sarah. And today, the theme that we're exploring is the impossible dream. Sometimes we find that our creativity is a little bit hampered by our own experience or our own perception of what possibilities may lay ahead, but it seems to come that God's understanding of what is possible is so different from our own. And so let us worship God together, letting the Spirit of God guide us and the Word of God lead our way. Let's worship together this morning.
When I get caught out in the storm, and I'm just looking for a place that's warm, I sometimes forget who's in control. I need some help to redefine my role. The waves will break and the winds will blow, and through it all you're there. The rain, it falls so new life can grow. So let this be my prayer. Give me strength, give me patience, 'cause in your hands my heart is clay. Give me compassion, give me mercy, show me the way. Give me strength, give me patience, 'cause in your hands my heart is clay. Give me compassion, give me mercy, show me the way.
Stony the road we trod, bitter the chase. We are thankful that our limitless God of all possibilities sees us in our essential nature of unbound potential. Even when we become estranged from God, God knows and remembers us in our wholeness and is always reaching out to draw us back. And so, confident of God's love, let us humbly reach back as we make our confession, first in silent prayers. Let's pray together. Infinitely gracious and merciful God, during this Lenten season, as we seek to walk more closely with you, we also reflect upon the ways in which we have strayed. You have created us and given us the freedom to actualize our fullest potential, and in this we have failed. Our sin is always before us. Too often, we use our freedom to selfishly benefit ourselves at the expense of others. We follow the path of least resistance, giving in to the temptations and pressures of the world instead of standing firmly in your truth. And we participate in systems of oppression and injustice that foster prejudice rather than love, brokenness rather than healing, division rather than wholeness, and death rather than life. God, in your unfailing love, help us. Forgive us for turning from you, and give us the heart and mind of Christ, so that we might turn back to be in right relationship with you, knowing your love so that in it and through it, we might transform the world. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. The impossible love of God is beyond all measure, and we are included in that love. Know that we are all forgiven and thus free to live to our fullest potential, bringing reconciliation and wholeness to the world in and with the love of Christ. Amen.
Throughout the month of March, we will highlight our Global Missions partners in offering. When you give to the offering for Global Missions, you help plant new churches and share the hope of Christ. You offer food, teach children how to succeed in school, and help refugees adapt and thrive in their new homes. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Your gift to the offering will share Christ's love with refugees. You will extend lasting hope and loving hospitality to them through planting new churches and offering food and fellowship. Greystone's goal is $3,999.99. You can give by sending a check to Greystone's secure mailbox or choosing the online option. 100% of your gift to the offering will support CBF personnel serving in the U.S. and around the world. Join me now in watching an inspiring video showing some of our CBF personnel.
Antwerp is the second largest city in Belgium. It's also the diamond-cutting capital of the world, so we have lots of different nationalities that are represented in a small amount of space. I came to Belgium as a GSC-er in 2004 with CBF. Hari came to Belgium in 2000. We work here in Antwerp as church planters with refugees and immigrants who are Arabic-speaking.
When I arrived to Antwerp, I really felt there was a huge need for a place for the Arabs, to be a shelter for the refugees, as I was one of them. I felt that we need a shelter for the refugees, Christians or other ethnic Arabs.
The refugee camps in the big cities are full, and so they're beginning to send them out to the smaller townships. And so literally the international population has spread all over the country.
They face new challenges. One of these is the language, and that they are not welcomed by some people.
We started a Bible study that started with about five people and grew to about 60 or so in a short amount of time, and continue to have weekly services on Sundays. We have weekly Bible studies on Thursday nights. We have Dutch lessons that are on Friday nights. We eat together. We play ping pong together. We worship the Lord together. Regardless of their religious background, so many have left their families behind, and so church becomes their new family. And it's important for us to share the love of Christ in that way for each other and become the new family for each other.
We plan to have churches all over Belgium. We thank the Lord and pray that we will have a church in every city.
Let us pray together. God of hope and God of courage, we gather this day with anticipation and vulnerably abundant dreams about our future together as people of faith. While standing at the dawn of all kinds of new possibilities, we turn to you as our source of strength and guidance. We know that our track record isn't always so strong when it comes to being bold and brave. We would rather cling to things that feel constant, dependable, and secure. Furthermore, we are exhausted from all that we have been through, all that we have experienced in the year past, each of us dealing with different and unique challenges. Comfort our pain, heal our brokenness, and revive our imaginations as we seek to continue following your lead in our lives. Forgive us when our hopes and dreams are weighed down by perceived realities. Forgive us when our doubts paralyze us and prevent us from following where you are leading. Relying on your grace, may we journey toward new realities together. Relying on your mercy, may we find a new understanding. Relying on your constant presence, may we follow your lead and work constantly to bring about your kingdom in this world. We ask these things not in a spirit of timidity and fear, but in a spirit of boldness, and in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I will be reading from Genesis 17, 1 through 7, and 15 through 18. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offsprings after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give a son to her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come to her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Monty Roberts loves to gather guests in his home. And when he hosts people there, he loves to tell a story about a young boy who was the son of an itinerant horse trainer. The boy grew up going from stable to stable, barn to barn, track to track, farm to farm, and ranch to ranch, moving from town to town. As a result of all these moves, his schooling was often interrupted. Just before graduating high school at yet another new school, this young man was asked by a teacher to write a paper about a dream, something that he wanted to be and become, something he wanted to do when he grew up. So the high school senior went home and did the assignment, and he wrote a 7-page paper about his dream of one day owning his own horse ranch. With great detail, he drew diagrams and described the 200-acre ranch which he wanted to own. He had meticulously planned out where all the buildings would sit on the property. He even designed a floor plan for the 4,000-square-foot home that he would buy and build on his land. This blueprint bore his heart and his soul. It contained every dream that boy had ever known. He handed it to the teacher the next day at school, feeling both vulnerable and proud. But 2 days later, the paper was given back to him with a large F on top and a note that said, See me after class. The boy went and met with the teacher, asking, Why in the world did I receive an F? And the teacher said this, This is an unrealistic dream for a young boy like you. You have no money. You have come from an itinerant family. You have no resources. Owning a horse ranch requires a lot of money. First, you have to buy the land. You'll have to pay for the original breeding stock, and later you'll have to pay large stud fees. There's no way you could ever do it. And then the teacher added, But you know what? If you go and rewrite this paper with a more realistic goal, I will reconsider your grade. Well, the boy went home and thought about it long and hard. He talked to his father and asked him what he should do. And his father said, Look, son, you have to make up your own mind about this. So finally, after sitting with it for nearly a week, the boy turned in the same paper to the same teacher. He made no changes at all. And while handing it over to the teacher who'd asked him to rewrite it, he said, You can keep the F, and I'm going to keep my dream. It's about at this point in the story when Monty typically confesses to whoever is in his home listening to the story. He says, I tell you the story because you are sitting in my 4,000-square-foot house. that is right here in the middle of my 200-acre horse ranch. I still have that paper framed and over my fireplace, he says. You can keep the F, and I will keep my dream. Every time I read this story, that line stops me in my tracks. First, because I was raised to be a polite Southern woman who would never speak to a teacher with such confidence or disregard for the grade. More importantly, though, because of the courage that it takes to insist on a dream, even the face of certain failure. There is something about dreamers, though, that inspires the rest of us to press on, to believe, to hold on to hope, even in the face of overwhelming odds. There is something about dreamers that inspires the rest of us to say hurrah when we hear that phrase, you can keep the F, but I'm going to keep my dream. The Bible is full of dreamers. Some of those dreamers were like Jacob, who wrestles with God in a dreamlike state and awakens with a limp to prove that it really happened. Others were like Joseph, the father of Jesus, that dreams the news of Mary's pregnancy and also realizes in a dream that he must take his family to flee Herod's wrath. Our biblical stories are often fueled by dreams and visions, which often guide the plot, helping the main characters escape harm and experience God's will for their lives. There are other kinds of dreamers, though, in the Bible. There were also dreamers like Moses who could see a different way of life, a new reality for the Hebrew people who were suffering under Egyptian oppression. There were also dreamers like Mary who embraced a scandalously dangerous pregnancy because of the possibility that her son might grow up to become the savior of the world. Yes, our story is written and upheld by dreamers who refused to surrender the dream because somebody told them that their dreams were impossible. Maybe there's another dreamer whose story unfolds within our sacred texts, one with dreams so big even the laws of nature cannot prevail. As earth itself is created, floods are summoned, seas are parted, slaves are freed, wilderness becomes home to prophets and people, and death loses its power as the final word. Yes, it seems that ours is a God with a mighty big dream. Perhaps a dream that, if written down and turned in on a term paper, you and I might look at it and say, F, this is an unrealistic dream. In a way, that is what Abram and Sarai did when they first learned about God's dream for their lives. In the text today, we read what God says to them, saying, I will make you exceedingly numerous. God said that to this pair of nonagenarians, people in their 90s, you shall be the ancestor to a multitude of nations, and Sarah will give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. And upon hearing this dream, Abram fell on his face and laughed. You all probably know the story, like I do. So you also know that by the time we arrive at today's selection, today's reading, Abram has already given God an F and asked him to rewrite the paper. The first time Abram was presented with the idea, he took matters into his own hands, claiming Hagar as his own and fathering Ishmael with her, seeking to appease God's dream with his man-made provisions. But here, in today's verses, God says, no, that is not the dream that I have for you. Yes, I will bless Ishmael, making him fruitful and numerous as well, but it is with your wife, Sarai, that this particular dream needs to come to life. God is, in essence, saying back to Abram, You can keep your F, and I will keep my dream. Eventually, like those hearing Monty's story from the living room in his 4,000-square-foot home, Abram and Sarai come to understand that it wasn't the dream that was the problem. The failure happened within their human imaginations. Episcopal laywoman Verna Dozier wrote that God has a dream, and that we, God's creation, we are the realization of that dream. She goes on to say that the dream of God is that all creation will live together in peace and harmony and fulfillment, all parts of creation. And the dream of God, that is the good creation that God created, what the refrain in Genesis said, and God saw that it was good, will be restored. That's the dream. Dozier goes on to say, the role of the church is to be the people who work with God to bring that very dream about. The dream for the world is wholeness, fulfillment, the goodness of all things working together in peaceful harmony. And the dream of the church is to work with God to make that dream, God's dream, reality. So what is God's dream for us, for you, and for me specifically, for our beloved church? And can we be trusted with it? Or are we more likely to respond by falling on our face and laughing? In essence, telling God, I give this project an F. Come back with a revised version, a more realistic proposition. Until then, I'm out. See, we are living today in unprecedented times. We have lost access to the traditions of our past, and we have been forced to kind of reset, to recreate, to reimagine the possibilities for the kind of work that we will do, for the kind of family life that we want to have, the kind of worship that we want to participate in, the kind of church that we will become. In moments like these, our temptation is often one of fear. We want to revert to the past, to recreate it, to get back to normal. We want to rebuild the calendar just as it was. We want to redefine our lives with all the same commitments to which we were once held captive. But I wonder if those conventions were precisely what we needed to be liberated from in order to finally accept the impossible dreams of God that have been waiting to come alive within us, among us, around us, and perhaps even through us. I'm not saying everything has to change. There are certainly things that I cannot wait to return to. The beauty of our sanctuary, the sound of our choir singing live in the room all together, the chaos of little children running around the fellowship hall while well-meaning adults are just trying to enjoy a quiet meal. The sensation of a handshake, a hug, or a high five. The noise of fellowship and the unparalleled beauty of community lived by human beings together, sharing life in person, not only on Zoom. These are some of the things that I am desperately missing and cannot wait to rebuild with you. But as the sun seems to be coming back out from this dark and long COVID winter, I am beginning to wonder if there isn't a new dream for us to begin to take hold of. Actually, maybe I should say it a different way. Is there a new dream ready to take hold of us? After all, the dream isn't really ours to possess and own. It isn't ours to control or to take credit for. The dream belongs to God. To put it in the words of a well-known Baptist preacher, the late Dr. George Heaton wrote these words, "The dream, it does not belong to me. It does not belong to you. It is God's rearrangement of all that has entered into our lives And if we are possessed by it, we shall always be moved by that dream, so that there shall be no place where we stop, and there shall be no place where we tarry to fashion in permanent something which must forever change. Friends, if we consider the Bible as our guide, we might find a pattern as it relates to God's dreams. Through all the stories of biblical dreamers enacting God's dreams, there are threads. There are themes. And those threads are that of liberation. They are threads of compassion, threads of mutual respect and hospitality, threads of authenticity and acceptance, threads of brokenness, and threads of inclusion. It seems that if we are going to try to sum it up in one tidy little word, God's dream is love. And as we see that dream unfolding in the lives of dreamers like Jacob and Joseph, Moses and Mary, we begin to notice that each iteration is as unique as the individual person or community entrusted with it. The dream calls each person, calls each church, each community to look within itself and then generously offer all that we have in service of our neighbors. That is love. Love is found in worship and in Sunday school. Love is found in communion and baptism. Love is found in Belgium, as we saw earlier in the video, and love is found in Raleigh, as we know from firsthand experience. Love is found as Abram and Sarai accepted the impossible dream, and love is found as you and I begin to do the same, stopping ourselves from laughing at just how ridiculous the ideas may sound, but instead embracing the impossible possibilities that God is opening up before us, even here, maybe even now. So if we are to discern God's dream for our lives and for our church, we cannot just look to the past for the parameters of possibility. Instead, we must look to the Spirit, who knows all too well how to make something good out of chaos, bringing to life the dream of God through you, through me, and through us together. Dreamers, embodying a holy, beautiful dream. Let's give back the F and keep moving forward with God's dream. Amen.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love
star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
strove with his last ounce of courage to dream the impossible dream, to reach the unreachable star.
April Alston, one of the ministers here at Greystone, and we are so glad that you joined us in worship today. We would love for you to invite somebody to join you. An easy way to do that with virtual worship is to share this worship service on your social media, on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter. There are all kinds of ways that we can still invite people to join us at church, and we'd really love it if you would do that. So share away and invite somebody to join you next week. There are many things that we want to say to you. We want to tell you thank you for ending our year in a financially healthy way. We are so excited to end 2020 in a financially healthy way, and that's because of your giving. In such an unusual year, we are so thankful for that. It is those very gifts that allow us to do ministry in our community and across our world. And we are very grateful for that. You can continue to give to our regular offering a few different ways. You can give through our online portal. You can mail it to our secure mailbox. You'll find that link for online giving and the address for our secure mailbox in your Sunday email. You can also drop it by the church during weekdays. You might want to call or email and make sure somebody's going to be there. But we would love for you to continue giving. This week is the beginning of our offering for global missions. You heard about it in worship this morning. You will hear about it for a few more weeks. This is a way for us to support our CBF field personnel. All of the money that goes to that offering directly supports our field personnel and all the work that they're doing all across the U.S. and all across the world. So we would like to invite you to open your heart and think about how you might help in this, in our global missions offering. You can give in multiple different ways through our online portal, just like you give to our regular offering, to our secure mailbox, or dropping it by the church. And just make sure if you're writing a check that you write on the memo line that it's for global missions, or if you're giving online, there'll be a place there where you can mark it for global missions. As well, our goal this year is $3,999.99. I bet you that's a number that you can remember. So help us reach our goal and help us do God's work all around the world. Our money is certainly not the only way that we can do God's work in the world. We can do God's work in the world by just being ourselves and living in a way that God can use us. Our children have learned that lesson through children's choir, and they're going to share that with us. So let's listen and continue our week and our life living in a way that God can use each of us.
I'm gonna live. bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now dangerous and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire.